Father God, right now, as we come before you in this hour, as your word is ministered unto us, as you have spoke through your prophecy, Lord, I pray tonight, God, let this word be all of you and none of us, Lord. And let us take what you would tell us, Lord, and let it change us. Help us, God, to stop trying to change you. And Lord, help us to take this word that it would change us. And Lord, let it work for our good. Let it cause us, God, to do a good work. And Lord, ultimately, let us be a church that can help people. Let us not be hypocrites, Lord, but ambassadors of you. And let us stand by the truth of your word and hold fast by faith that, Lord, as we endure, we know that blessings will come our way. We'll never cease to give you the honor and the praise, Lord. Hallelujah. And I honor you tonight, God, for your presence. And we ask all these things in your name, Jesus, in the church said, amen. Let's begin to read tonight, 12th chapter of Romans, from the third verse, and we will stop at verse 8. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many, say that phrase, being many. So we being many, that means being somebody that counts for something. So we being somebody that counts for something are one in Christ. And every one members, and say this phrase tonight, of one another. We being somebody that is meaningful are meaningful to one another. Oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait to get into that. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. My heart has been before God this week about things that I'm trying to, how do I put this, gain a permanent victory over. And I'm not talking about the kinds of things that you can't control, but I'm talking about the things that are within the realm of your domain that you can handle, that you can talk to every morning and say, get behind me. The things that you can talk to and dismiss from your mind. Those are the things I've been seeking God for, about getting a permanent victory so that the devil has to find some other way to try to mess with me. Because you see, every time that he wins that same attack in you, you're not having to give him a creative way to come against you. In fact, we make it so easy for the enemy sometimes. We just begin to think about those things that bother us. And not too long after that, that love of God that's supposed to be there to get us through the day has already waxed cold. By the time we actually get to a real situation, we're not prepared to even say the first word. And chances are, if God could literally audibly move us out of the way, I'm sure he would. Because the witness we demonstrate at times is not what people need to see. And tonight I want to talk about a specific word unto you. And there's a specific thing that God put in my spirit to come here to do. I've been dealing a lot with my body. I've had pain in my body. The devil has been putting it on me. But I press through it anyway to get here tonight, because I know that he that began a good work in thee is going to see it through. I know tonight that God has something special in store for you. And I'm here to tell you that that word that God put in my spirit is the word encouragement. Encouragement. Just go ahead and say that out loud for a second. Encouragement. And I'm giving you what the Lord give me, word for word. Encouragement is necessary to our walk of faith. Without encouragement, our will with purpose begins to fade unto a state of unrest and unsatisfaction. Let me read that last one again. Without encouragement, a will with purpose fades into a state of unrest and unsatisfaction. Now, I'm not talking about everybody's situations that you're going through, but I can pretty sure guarantee that you've been in a place of what they call discouragement, or what that would mean is the lack of encouragement. It's not something that presses against you that brings you low. It's the lack of something good that keeps you from building up. And we have been trying so hard to be a different kind of church. And maybe this is your first time being here. Maybe this is your first time in a while. And I hope that you're able to tell a difference from other places you go. Because here's the truth of the matter. We're really trying to be different, aren't we, church? We're really trying to put all of our problems together on the table, on the altar, and walk through this thing together. Because if we can't do that, then we're not walking in the love of God anyway. We're trying to be different. We're trying to establish ourselves. And what God has been speaking about and teaching about in this place is beginning to talk about the things that we must demonstrate to even show that we're ready. To show somebody that we love them. To show them that we're ready to do whatever God has called us to do in order to see them changed. I'm here to tell you right now, I like what I'm seeing. And I'm also here to tell you that the devil don't like what he sees when we're doing a good thing. He doesn't like to see when you're beginning to step out. And the very moment that you begin to step out, let me tell you what the enemy does. He begins to implant things in your path that will begin to make you look as a lack of encouragement. Because how many of you know that God never leaves you? Then let me ask you this tonight. How is it that we ever truly feel alone? I'm here to tell you, it's perception. When we perceive that things are beginning to not go our way, we don't see encouragement all around us. And when things begin to especially go wrong, I add especially because I've just had those days before. I've had those days when I looked in the mirror and I was like, what happened? I've had those days when I went to work and asked myself, what was I even supposed to do? I've walked into meetings before and had a game plan when I got in there, and then they put me on the spot and I'd be like, I don't know, what do you think? I've been in church services before where I was on my way with an excitement and a zeal, and by the time I got my mouth open, it felt like there was 100 people coming up to try to close it up from me ever to having to say anything. Not that you would ever get so undignified to do that, but it felt that way. Because here's where the enemy works. You know, we read the scripture, it says we don't fight against flesh and blood. So that means that that which we perceive as a lack of is in our own perception. And not actually what we're seeing, right? Oh, I'm getting excited. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. So we go on and on this way. Maybe you just have one thing happen this week, and it got you upset. It shook you up a little bit. And maybe there was just a little bit of a moment where you might have thought to yourself, I don't know if this is going to change. I don't know if I'm going to get better. I don't know if I can be happy. And every moment of doubt that you have is the opening of the door to the devil. He said the power of life and death is in your tongue. Don't you dare tell me that your speech don't mean anything. And you don't have to say it out loud for it to mean something by faith to the Lord. Especially if you present to him unbelief more than you do faith. So we sit in these moments within ourselves and we begin to doubt that things are going the way that we want to. And then we begin to grow impatient. And so you mix a perception of discouragement with impatience to a situation that begins to build what we like to call frustration. And as you begin to be built up with frustration, ain't nobody want to be around you. They're not going to answer your phone call. They're not going to write you back. They're not going to send you a message. They don't want to hear what you have to say. Because let me tell you, the more that you speak that kind of thing around other people, you begin to put cracks in the foundation they're standing on. And as they're standing there, they begin to get discouraged about their situation. But here's where the Lord wants us to get. He wants us to begin to see when the enemy tries to create a false perception, or the Bible says deception, into our minds. Because if you can keep your mind under subjection by the anointing, you know what? The devil has nothing he can throw at you. I know this because I look at the example of Job. When you look at the example of Job, he lost everything that was literally in his presence. He began to feel things in his body that he never wanted to ever feel or dream that he ever felt. But yet within himself, he still had a perception that knew that though he slay me, yet I will still serve him. The one thing that made Job powerful was that he dismissed the deception of the enemy. You might be the most talented individual in your hometown, but it does not mean anything until you can learn to create a platform that you can stand on. You can be the most talented person to sing, but if you're always discouraged, there's not going to be a song come out of your mouth. If you're always discouraged, there's not going to be a sermon burning inside of you to get out to somebody. And if there's no love in your heart, let me tell you what happens when we go to be as a Christian in church. We're demonstrating the world and not God. Amen. You just make room for me. I'm just trying to get dug in here, making our way into where we want to be. You just be patient for a moment. Turn with me into Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. We receive a sort of a instruction of what to do. And it says, but exhort one another when? How often? How long? Come on, scholars, daily. While it is called today, meaning today and right now. Oh, I could preach on that for half an hour, but I need to save that half hour for something else. But right now, while you're here, is the time you need to encourage somebody else. Right now, oh, honey, I just come to make sure they didn't think that there was anything wrong with me. You're not sitting here tonight just to get blessed on your situation. Somebody else needs to see that God is alive inside of you. How are we ever going to draw anybody unless somebody sees something good inside of you? How are we going to show the lost and dying world that there's somebody saved unless we're living what we're preaching? How are we demonstrating God in us? By his love. Amen. He said, but unto you let you exhort one another. While it is, I want to bring emphasis, hold your hand up. While it is day. I'm not talking about you get around to ministering to somebody when it's convenient for you. Oh, I just felt something right then. Oh, if you wait around till it's convenient for you, somebody will have already went and died and went to hell. If you're going to wait around until everything's perfect, let me tell you, life doesn't promise perfection. So every day the devil can get you to put off that obedience. Every moment where he can get you to not minister what God has put in your heart, that encouragement that somebody should have had, they lose it and begin to see and perceive a lack of encouragement. There was a word that was in the scripture before it's translated as we read it. It's called laklit. It's Greek. And it's talking about encouragement, exhortation. And when you read the scripture where Jesus said, though I go away, I'm going to send you something. He said, I would send you another comforter. I will send you. He said, while he was with them, he said, be of good cheer. Don't worry. Have overcome the world. But he wanted to make sure they knew that when he left, that they would not be without power. I've got to go ahead and just say this right now for somebody. Let me tell you what encouragement does. It gets the devil off your back. Let me tell you what encouragement does. It causes that stuff that would have held on to you all week long to get underneath your feet. That it's not even something that would ever hold you. You might think it's not for you. You might not think that somebody coming to hug you means anything. But if you're going to dismiss that, you're saying, come on, devil, come on in my house, sit in my mind, and let's look around and not see the hope that is there. Because if God never leaves you, then encouragement never leaves you. I just had to get that out of the way. But Jesus told them, he said, though I go away, I'm going to send you a laklit, a comfort. Oh, he was giving them the means to still have power. I'm talking to somebody right now. Listen, your motivation, that want to get up and go, the Lord's speaking to me right now. Somebody's looking for that back in their life again. You're looking for that get up and go to go clean out the garage. You're looking for the get up and go to get to that next sermon. You're looking for the get up and go just to get up and live your life again. And I'm here to tell you that that which Jesus came and that which he sent back when he left is the very thing you need to get motivated again. Motivation is not fueled with anything else other than encouragement. Athletes getting more out of somebody cheering them on than any protein shake that money could buy. I'm telling you, the love of somebody else, the support of somebody else will make somebody feel like that they can run through a troop and jump over a wall. But if we're going to sit and look at each other and not support one another and not act on the commandment of God, I'm going to tell you, when you go out in the world, you're going to perceive that nothing is going your way. But the goal of a church is to stir up the anointing that Christ said that he was sending to you, so that when you give it to somebody else, that they will not perceive that it is over. Jesus, I could just dance right now. Jesus was giving them encouragement. He was reaching out and said, while it is day, go after your encouragement. You might not be called to sing. You might not be called to preach, but you have encouragement. Oh, and if it were not about us, let me tell you, encouragement would be fluent. Maybe there was a moment in my life where I'll admit that I didn't support people like I should. But let me tell you, when you're growing up as a young minister, you'll learn that your pride will try to step in and kill your ministry before it gets off the ground. I'm to the point now, Sister Doris, if they'll give me an opportunity to preach at the garbage dump, I'd be willing to take it. If it'll get somebody saved, if it's only for 5 people, then I'm going to give it to 5 people like I would for 5 million. Because let me tell you, when I was down to nothing, Jesus didn't hold back on my behalf. When I was down to nothing, he didn't say, I only want to save those that have been righteous. He didn't hold back on my behalf, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what he was making sure that you would still have is his love to encourage you. Oh, my Lord and my God. Oh, my Lord and my God. Some people are so afraid of the anointing of God because they're afraid it's going to make them sound different. But if you only just jumped in encouragement head first, you'd be surprised at what you do with your life. If I sat back where I used to be, I didn't used to believe in myself and my trade and what I did for a living. And I was afraid to go ask for a raise. I was scared to death. I didn't have the courage to go and say, I deserve more because of what I do. I didn't have the boldness. And it took my wife one day to encourage me and tell me, now how long have you been there? And how many things have you done? You are more than deserving of this. You need to go and be confident in what you've done. And I'm here to tell you, without that kind of encouragement, I'd still be making twice as less as I'm making right now. Because let me tell you what encouragement does. It causes you to remove the perception that everything's going wrong. And it begins to stir up the faith in you that begins to believe that greater things are in store for me. Because greater is he that's in me than he. I'm not settling for the devil's level, and I'm not going to let you sit under me preaching and you not begin to believe in yourself, because you are somebody. You have been saved. You were spared for a reason. It's because he loved you and he saw something in you that when you give love to somebody else, that it will make the difference in their life. Oh, somebody, oh, he's wanting to give you some motivation. Oh, you just lift your hand up right now if that's you. The Lord's wanting to touch you right now. In the name of Jesus, God, I impart your encouragement for people to begin to believe that they're more than able, that they're deserving to do it. God, I know and I trust in you that you're moving mightily, oh, to the saving of souls, to the redeeming of your children. The Lord is blessing. Look over at your neighbor and touch him and say, in the name of Jesus, God's moving and he's doing great works in your life. Oh, you can't even get the pen up fast enough to write what the Lord shows you, that you keep it in your heart and see what the Lord will do. We're going to read 2 verses there. While you're getting there, I'm going to give you what God gave me. Without encouragement, life would soon feel pointless and burdensome. Without encouragement, we can be overwhelmed by the very real pains of our lives. Without encouragement, we feel unloved. How many of you have been in that position? Without encouragement, we begin to think that God is a liar or is unconcerned with our welfare. I've been guilty of that myself. So the Bible tells us to encourage one another and to remind each other of the truth that God loves us, that He equips us, that we are treasured, and that our struggles are worth it. That's powerful. Glory to God. Let's read John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love. Does that say beat down? Wait. Huh? Somebody tell me what that says right there. That you what? Love. Gossip? Is that what that says? I don't have my glasses, Matt. Is that what that says? Does it say beat each other down? Does it say judge one another? I don't think so. Does that say beat each other down because they failed? Does it say to hate on everybody? I'm telling you, you can't get rid of the haters. But let me tell you, the one thing that puts them on the run is if you show an act of kindness to somebody, they won't know what to do with it. And that's what Jesus walked around with. That's what caused the blinded eyes to see. That's what caused those that were lame to walk. He didn't have any special mark on him that caused him to be who he was, but he had a love and compassion for the people that he was around. That you love. Sorry, I just have to bring emphasis to some things because we just read right over it and don't realize its importance. That you love one another. And read that next part. As I loved you. When you didn't even love him first, he loved you. That's what makes his love agape love. He loved you when you didn't love him. When you may have cursed him in your past, he still loved you. When you said he wasn't able, when you dared people to try to pray against your will of what you wanted, he still loved you. He still loved me as a drug addict. He loved me through all 8 years of it. He loved me enough to spare me that I would find his mercy.